From the studios of Books in Motion, this is Rusty Nelson reading Vanishing Raven by Stephen B. Smart. Now let's begin with Vanishing Raven. Prelude, Grable Territory, Wyoming, 1866. The silence was almost deafening as she cautiously walked down the rocky, tree-covered ridge through 2 inches of fresh powder snow. She looked down at her wrist, scarred by the heavy shackles she had been forced to wear. The fact that she had really escaped and freedom might be as close as the valley below her was almost more than she could handle. The snow had stopped, but a thick fog had crept in, making the best route off the mountain more difficult to find. Never had she felt so alone as she questioned her decision to split up from the other two, hoping one of them might make it to safety. The three of them had parted ways at least 3 hours ago, and now she hoped and prayed that somewhere down in the valley she would find help. She worked her way down through a leafless patch of aspen with bare branches coated with the morning frost. Stopping for a moment, she took in the beauty, something she hadn't done for a long time. The sun was trying to filter through the fog, and in spots the ice crystal sparkled like rays off a sunny lake in the fall. Her fur-lined moccasins generously coated with bear grease, and the long march down the ridge kept her warm. She stopped under the protection of a downed tree and lowered her baggy pants. The old burlap she had found at the cabin had slipped. She removed the rawhide strips holding the burlap in place. After rewrapping her leg, she carefully tied the rawhide strips over the burlap to just above her thigh. The burlap was old and dirty, but at least it helped keep her legs warm, and that might help her when the temperatures began to drop. Almost as quickly as the sun had broken through the clouds, a dark, puffy cloud rolled over the mountain ridge, blocking its rays and dropping the temperature. Pulling her blue scarf tighter around her neck, she used her pointed stick as she carefully chose each step. There were large rocks and unseen drop-offs. She had come too far to be lost to one of them now. It would be very dangerous for her to travel at night, and the sun was already low in the sky. With the short days of late fall, there wouldn't be enough daylight for her to make it down to the valley. Eventually, she needed to find shelter. It was getting dark quickly, and the wind picked up as she came to a large rock slide. There was no direct route down through the boulders, so she was forced to detour over to a steep, treed hillside. In places, it was so steep that she needed to hold on to branches to help navigate down the grade. At the bottom, she stopped and took a moment to catch her breath. She took her pack off and set it down beside one of the many moss-covered boulders when she noticed a hole almost 2 feet in diameter between two large rocks, partially hidden by a fallen snag. Slowly, she stuck her head into the hole, aware that there might be something inside. But it was empty from what she could see. The cave smelled of animal dung, and several holes in the ceiling allowed just enough light in that she could see at least most of the small enclosure. Pushing her pointed stick in front of her, she crawled inside the dark chamber. There was still just enough light from the setting sun that she could see that the small cave had been used as a den in the past by some animal, but she had no idea what. Inside were numerous small twigs that must have come originally from the shattered snag that lay across the entrance. Going back to the mouth of the small cave, she grabbed her pack and shoved it inside and then crawled in behind it. Quickly, she opened her pack, pulling out a small flint that would help her start a fire, putting it on her pack as she gathered enough twigs to form a small mound. Then she gathered a few dry leaves that had blown inside the small cave and scraped together a few spruce needles and pushed them into a mound. Picking up a dry chunk of wood, she smashed it over a rock to make wood fibers. Stacking the wood on top of the small mound, she moved them against the boulder wall below one of the small cracks in the ceiling. For the next 10 minutes, she worked at getting a spark to ignite. Finally, a small amount of smoke arose from the pile as she knelt and gently blew on it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?